Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So let me just say that something possessed me this week to offer to take my four older kids and some of their friends to a midnight show of the new Harry Potter blockbuster film, Deathly Hallows.
Maybe part you're one, under a spell.
Or DH1. Well, we did. And as you can hear, the music box sounding Potter theme, that's the old theme,
right,
is gone. It's a much darker, much more grown up score that goes with this installment. And of course, all the characters are grown up too. Unfortunately, we actually could not get into the midnight show. It was
really?
Sold out. Yeah.
So we went home.
So we went to the 12:06 show. That's right. We could have also gone to the 12:17 show or the 12:25 show. The theater was mobbed in Brooklyn Heights, and the reviews are in. So what'd you think?
Amazing. It was everything that I expected it to be.
It way outdid what I thought was coming. The last two movies I've been iffy, and the director just rocked it this time.
These are two teenagers, Corinne Fitzgibbons and Nicole Breitbart, who I spoke with right after the film. They were dressed in full Potter regalia, and you can see it on our website, thetakeaway.org. They were actually pretty annoyed that they couldn't get into that first midnight show, and it's not going to happen for part two.
Part two.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm definitely seeing it at midnight, not 12:06. I'm not waiting 6 minutes.
This was the 12:06 show, and it just was too long to wait.
Six minutes
is too long.
That is youth. There's the definition
exactly,
of youth.
Yes, people with free time. Yes, and as for my kids, what did they think?
So what did you think?
It was wonderful and amazing, and everybody should go see it.
And was it worth going to the 12:06 show?
Yes, but not if you have to go to school.
So are you looking forward to school?
No.
Actually, that was my 9-year-old daughter, Regan. One of my daughters, my 12-year-old Zoe, she said, I'm thinking I'm going to skip school. She's not skipping school.
Could you get that evil grin off your face when you say that?
Right. No, you go to school. It's all part of the experience. Abby Koff joins us now. She actually beat us in seeing the movie. We saw the 12:06. Abby, you were at the 12:01 up there in Cambridge?
Yeah, that's right. First in line.
Nice work, Abby. And what'd you think?
I thought it was amazing. Probably the best one yet, in my opinion.
And coming from the co-captain of the Harvard University Quidditch team.
Quidditch team?
Quidditch team, that's right. That's high praise. So you actually play Quidditch, which takes the reading all the books and going to the movie at midnight one better. I mean, you've really brought this into your life in a big way.
No, yeah, it was nice. We had our banner out there. Like, half the team was out. It was definitely a bonding experience.
Now, I've seen the movies, and I've seen Quidditch played. I'm a little mystified as to how you might do that up at Harvard, although you are known for performing magic up there at Harvard. You have special powers at Harvard University. I understand that. How do you do it?
No, we definitely do not have special powers, but you'd be surprised. Like, there's actually an international Quidditch association. There's like something ridiculous, like I think 230 college teams around the country. There's teams in other countries. Like, yeah, it's actually a lot bigger than people think it is.
How do you get around the flying on the broomstick thing?
It sounds kind of silly, but you run around with a broom between your legs, which, like, well, at first, like, being an athlete, I was a little, like, hesitant about, yes, I'm going to run around with a broom between my legs. But, like, it actually limits a lot because you're almost going to have one hand. And, like, the snitch is a real person, so they can, like, fight back. It's actually a lot of fun.
Abby Koff, running around with a broom between your legs does actually sound kind of silly, just hearing it now. But it is an athletic endeavor, and I really applaud you for it. I want to ask you some sort of detailed, because you've read all the books, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, this is a part of your generation, the Harry Potter experience, right?
No, we, like, grew up with him. When I started reading the books, I was 11 and he was 11. Like, the tone of the books was exactly what you'd expect an 11-year-old kid to read. And, like, by the time the 7th came out, like, the tone had changed, like, the vocabulary had gone up. I don't know. It's just a direct reflection with, like, my generation.
Could we talk Horcruxes for a moment?
Sure.
Now, there are the evil sort of things that emerge in the last book, Deathly Hallows. And here is what some of the fans were talking about the movie rendition of the Horcruxes last night. I want to get your impression.
The weird, scary things. Were they as good as the book? The Horcruxes or whatever the hell they're called?
Oh, they were better.
They were better?
Yeah, because in the book, you read really fast through it. And this, it's like you have to sit there and wait.
I think it's also up to interpretation. I mean, my interpretation when I was reading the book wasn't as big and scary and, you know, dark. It was more childish view. Seeing it in the movie was just, it was an eye-opener.
Now, those are the Brooklyn fans early this morning. What did you think about the Horcruxes, Abby Koff?
I mean, I would agree that, like, it's kind of open to interpretation when you're reading the book. And the fact that, like, a lot of the people who are, like, in line watching this movie ended up getting the book at midnight, too. They had the same kind of thing. So you would get the book at midnight and, like, sit up all night reading it, and you'd be done by the next morning. So I kind of liked I don't know who it was, but they said that you had to wait and, like, sit there and, like, actually slow down and think about it and think about what's going on. Like, I had never done that when I read the books the first time.
Abby, have you read
through it?
Have you read any of your Harvard textbooks that quickly?
Yeah. Maybe I've missed a couple things.
See, they do have special powers at Harvard. Over time, which special power do you most enjoy, do you most wish that you would have? Has it changed since the beginning?
I mean, I think the special power I wish I had was a wand. I think everyone would agree that if you had that thing, life would be so much easier. You could just, like, ask your textbook in the middle of class. Like, life would just be fantastic.
In Brooklyn, it wasn't the wand. Listen, here's what it was.
Which would you rather have, the invisibility or the wand, or you want invisibility? What do you want?
Invisibility cloak.
What about you?
Invisibility.
Definitely. Everybody wants invisibility?
That's the only good one.
That's Brooklyn, but Abby Koff, who wants invisibility if they go to Harvard, right?
No. Well, yeah, I guess.
All right.
Not invisibility.
You're studying neurobiology?
Yep, I love brains.
Good luck to you. Love brains. Abby Coffin's got quite a brain. She's a co-captain of the Harvard University Quidditch team who saw the new Harry Potter movie at 12:01 this morning in Cambridge. Thanks, Abby.
Thank you very much.